Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is iPhone Jedi, Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
How's it going?
Going fantastic. I haven't melted yet, so I consider that a plus.
That is, yeah.
You haven't melted either. It's great to see you.
I have a fan going this way, so it's keeping me cool.
There's some respite from the energy bath that's devouring all of us.
Jim's got a fan, too.
Also joining us tonight is iMac connoisseur Roy Schlepinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
I see you're with us as well. The heat, you haven't succumbed to the heat. The heat hasn't consumed you.
I have a nice air conditioner, air conditioning unit at work, and I stand basically right below it, so... during the day has been okay, except for when I've had to go outside. I too have a fan literally blowing on me right now because it is hot. It is still hot.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Also joining us tonight is Cooking with Tim host, or I don't even remember what I was saying anymore. I changed it because I was like so excited about his new title.
Chef Tim.
Chef Tim tonight, host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim. How's it going, Chef Tim?
It's going. It's gonna be a long show.
make sure you check out his new Twitter account at Chef Tim.
Parody account.
At Chef Tim VK.
Sorry, yeah, at Chef Tim VK. You should really sue for the rights to Chef Tim, but
we'll have to work on that. Maybe we can get all the powerful Tims together to lobby against this other clearly, I don't know, incorrect Tim, Chef Tim. We'll get him out of there. And our director, Joe Meacham, is out tonight having fun. So we wish him luck on whatever it is he's looking to have fun with, whatever.
He's at a baseball game, I think.
He's at a baseball game? Ooh, awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully he catches a fly ball.
He's outside, which is where I just don't want to go at all right now.
Well, he's also not here in Washington. He's in Minneapolis or Minnesota. But yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So. I'm sure the weather is a little different there.
The other night I was listening, because I saw someone post this on my Facebook, but the other night I was listening to the Welcome to Miami song by Will Smith, and I was thinking, it is so much cooler there. They're so lucky. I would give anything to be in Miami and be that cool right now.
Oh, my God. So I just have to tell you, I was just looking for hotels. not that we were going to go to a hotel, because we were okay. But one of our friends, we went out. She came over. One of my girlfriends came over and watched TV and stuff like that, because it was like 85, 90 degrees in her apartment. And so we suggested that she should go look or get a hotel room for the night. You couldn't find a hotel room in Washington State.
They were all like booked.
There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing available. Mm-hmm.
The last time I remember something like that happening was like a snowstorm in 95 that took out power like all over the West Coast or whatever.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Did you see the roads were buckling on the freeway?
And like tar was melting and stuff. Outside of our factory, there was like a spot that had just been baking under the sun where they had like sealed the road. There was some kind of like fissure. And the tar that they had put in there was like bubbly a little bit, and like you could stick your finger in it and move it around.
Wow.
It was insane. So as a side note, there's a heat wave going on in Washington State and we weren't prepared for it. But back on topic, tonight we'll be discussing Microsoft and their Windows 11 announcement. Lots of new changes, but fundamentally, would you guys say that it sounds like Windows 11 is just going to be like a skin for Windows 10?
I think it's going to be a lot like Mac OS, like I said before. I think that's just...
Graphically, yes. Functionally, though, it's still Windows.
I don't know. When you think about it, when you go over to the whatever the thing, the bar that like has the sound and the Wi-Fi on, I don't know what you guys call that on
Task Manager. I think
Task Bar. But anyways, you click on that and it pops up with a little window that looks almost identical to the control center. For Mac OS. Mm. Like literally, it's the other direction basically, but very very similar. When you look at the rounding of it, the transparency, like when you have things behind it and stuff like that, the transparency looks pretty much the same. They got rid of the ribbon in Windows Explorer, I think it's called. Just so much like Mac overall. So it definitely, I'm excited for it. Like actually I was gonna try and install it on my Mac via a virtual machine, but we'll see kind of, you know, how I like using it, but I didn't get around to it because I can't find the cable for my external hard drive to install it. Mm. So I'll have to keep looking for that.
So what you're telling me is when Tim is talking about how great he thinks and how excited he is for Windows 11, what he's really saying is how much he loves Mac OS.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
So one of the things that I saw about the taskbar is that apps can no longer customize areas of the taskbar. And that's, I think, part of like a bunch of security features that Microsoft is trying to bake into Windows 11. Because it seems like a lot of the things on the surface look like, look like Mac, basically. It looks like, you know, Apple created a really fantastic visual standard for how a desktop experience works. And Microsoft is kind of stealing the things that they think will make, Windows maybe more appealing to Mac customers or just a better operating experience in general. But a lot of the things that I saw that they're changing feels like they're maybe parroting what Apple is doing by focusing on security. Did you guys get that sense at all?
Yeah, and I think it kind of makes sense because, you know, like, especially with everything kind of going on with the SolarWinds hack and, you know, the hacking and stuff like that of it, like, I think they want to pretty much, because Microsoft was very vulnerable to that, and mm-hmm. so I think they want to continue to improve their security, just like any other operating system is. I'm not saying that Mac OS is more secure or not than Windows, but every system is vulnerable to attacks, but anything you can do to tighten up the security of your system, I think is very helpful in the long run.
Mm. And speaking of security, that brings up, there's an article that 9to5 Mac, published about, the article is about how it won't be supported on Intel Macs. But it really goes into the fact that in order to run Windows 11, you will need to have a TPM 2.0 chip installed in your computer, which is TPM stands for Trusted Platform Module. And it's basically a chip that's, that helps ensure the integrity of, it says right here, to ensure the integrity of operating systems similar to what the Security Enclave chip does on Macs. It can control cryptographic keys, DRM management, and more. And what's even more interesting is I've always felt that Microsoft has made Windows super accessible to so many people, but they brought out a list of different processors that will be supporting or that Windows 11 will be supported on. And basically, if you don't have a processor made newer than 2017, you can kiss Windows 11 goodbye. It's not going to run.
Well, so you can run it on a virtual machine, I think. I just don't think you can run it in boot camp, but I think you can still run it on a virtual machine.
I will be testing that. My CPU, and is, were you talking about Mac or was it Windows?
Mac. Okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
Because I'm gonna install it via Parallels And I think you can do that. I think you can still do that with there.
Yeah, as long as it's a virtual machine, you're good. Boot camp will not work.
Yeah, no. And that's fine because I don't use boot camp at all anyway. So.
And I think for the customer who's looking to just buy a laptop like off the shelf, it's not going to affect them because manufacturers, if and when they adopt Windows 11, will probably be putting some the latest chips into the computer that they're building anyway. And it looks like Windows is going to work on like Atom processors, which are like mobile kind of power processors, mm-hmm. all the way up to the core processors, which are their like more heavy duty, like workspace computers.
One thing they announced during the conference is at the very, I think it was towards the very end, they talked about you'll be able, when you go to the store, you'll be able to find computers that will have the sticker Windows 11 ready, something like that. Mm-hmm. That brings me back to the, I don't know if you guys remember in the, when Windows Vista was coming out, Microsoft started labeling a bunch of manufacturers were labeling on their computers Windows XP, and then there was a little thing, Vista Ready, underneath it. But that was misleading because it was only saying you'll be able to run a home version minimum spec of Vista. That did not mean ultimate because there were like 7 different versions of Windows Vista, and it was a big class action lawsuit against Microsoft. So I'm wondering if they've learned their lesson. I'm assuming they've learned their lesson from this time. I'm just curious how that's going to work with the Windows 11 Ready stickers.
Interesting. Because with the range of processors that Windows 11 is going to run on, I mean, they had some other restrictions also, like it has to have 4 gigabytes of RAM, it has to have a 64 gigabyte or larger storage space.
Finally.
Like, so you can't throw it on some like HP little tiny stream book with 32 gigabytes of memory, which is that was such a frustrating thing to sell at Fred Meyer because it's like, well, you can't really do anything with it. You really kind of have to get all of these other things. But you also have to have a 720p display or greater that is 9 inches diagonally. So it seems like while it can run on a low end processor, the hardware seems to be more standardized. Like you can't run it on like a piece of crap thing. So I think that might help Microsoft maybe with security if they can target like a relatively limited range of devices, and it would help them, control what kind of experiences people can have. Cause like a 9-inch screen, that's pretty big. No 7-inch tablets are going to be running Windows 11. So I don't know. Do you guys think customers will be confused going from whatever computer they have right now, seeing that Windows 11 is available for them and not being able to upgrade? Do you think that would cause a lot of confusion?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be a big mess. Everyone was confused with the Windows 10 mixed marketing about Windows 10 is going to be free for everyone that has 7 and 8. It was a mess. It was confusing, and this is going to be just as confusing for people. And everything, no matter what, is confusing.
I agree. I mean, I think when you go from any big change in an operating system, you see a lot of pushback, even on Mac OS. Like there's some people who don't want to, even iOS and mobile operating systems. There's some people just don't like change, you know, and they might've just gotten used to Windows 10 and now it's changed all over again and they've got to learn something new. That's just the nature of technology. But my experience with people is some people just don't like change. They like their tech to be the same for years after years after years, even though it continues to get uglier and uglier and uglier in some cases.
Except for in this case where they made it look much better. The aesthetics of Windows 11.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, like, I hate the look of Windows 10. I think it's better than Windows 8. I think it's better than Windows 7. But I think this gives it a nice, it's kind of like when iOS got its first redesign. You know, it looked very old, and I watch a lot of older, well, I don't watch a lot of older TV shows, but a lot of true crime series and stuff like that. And when they talk about text messages and stuff like that, they use an old iPhone 4, which has iOS, you know, 4 or 5 on it or something like whatever before the redesign. And it looked ugly. And I'm like, how did I ever use this, you know? So, and I think it'll just take time for people to get used to, but again, people don't like change. They don't like, you know, new things. And
Microsoft has learned a lot, right? Like you said, they went through Vista and Windows 7, they went through 8, and they've failed pretty consistently in many areas with those new versions of Windows. And Windows 10 is kind of like a mix of all of the things that they've learned before. So I think if they're going to be adapting some of Apple's visual styles and learning from the mistakes that they've made with the previous versions of Windows, I think that Windows 11 at least will have a much better starting point than their previous operating systems. Because it seems like Microsoft is trying to create an even more seamless experience across all of the devices that they expect Windows to be able to run on, which I think a lot of people will like, but I'm not sure that just a visual upgrade will be enough to force people to upgrade to Windows 11. Do you guys think it's enough to make people buy new computers? Have you guys seen anything in either the features that they're adding or taking away that you think make Windows 11 stand out more than just like the visual style?
Well, and I know that Tim will disagree with me on this, but I think they need to get rid of the old control center. I hate it. It looks ugly. They need to get rid of it. They need to make it simpler and easier to use. It's a pain in the butt. So I think they really, and some of the core features, like when you right click on the menu screen, you can go down, and it's got a new design and stuff like that. But there's like a legacy menu too that you can go down to and see the old legacy menu. I don't know what the difference is between it, but they still have some legacy stuff in there which they need to get rid of. They just need to go all in on it, cut the cord with it, because that again just keeps people going back to the legacy stuff rather than just pushing them in the right direction, giving them that little push, saying, here you go, this is how you do this going forward. You know, rather than giving them options. So getting rid of the control center and the legacy features, putting a nice new clean looking control center together, I think would be very helpful.
Throw all that old stuff out the window.
Yeah. Here's another thing, Tim. So system preferences is kind of the same thing on Mac OS versus Windows. I hate system preferences too. Like, I feel like they could do a better redesign of that, because that's really never been redesigned. It's just got all the little icons and stuff like that. But I feel like they could do something different with it and make it look a lot nicer and stuff like that. I think that's what they need to do to Control Center. I'm not saying get rid of the features in Control Center. I'm just saying make it look prettier and nicer.
So I need to respond. While I agree, having the settings window and control center are kind of annoying, because if you change one thing in control center, it's still not changed in settings. That is why I think they need to abolish settings and just leave control center the way it works. And maybe add some new icons. Sure, give it a fresh look, but don't get rid of control center. That's my life. I work on that every day.
It just needs a facelift.
Why don't they just merge them both together? Merge them.
Do you need to merge the design both together, though?
Take the design from settings and put it into control center.
There's a lot of things in settings that annoy me. Like, one of the big things is, I guess Windows 10 has privacy control settings within settings, the new one that sucks. And it will automatically block your webcam from working in Skype. And it's super annoying because if you go into Skype, you cannot set your webcam as like webcam. And then the reason I have to like Google it almost every, almost every time. Like,
so why is it working? I have a question. Why are you still using Skype?
It's called legacy software that I have no control over. We're working on it.
That's what I'm saying. Microsoft has got Teams out there. Okay.
I'm going to throw something in, Matt. I want you to continue, but I just want everyone to know that 3D Viewer, OneNote for Windows 10, Paint 3D, and Skype won't be included in fresh installs of Windows 11. So now I just wanted to throw that in there. Sorry. What were you going to say, Matt?
So, like I said, they just need to kill off Skype by now. Like, who uses Skype anymore? Like, it's so old. We have all these other things. FaceTime is finally coming to Windows and Android, you know? So, like, why do you need Skype anymore? Like, we've got Teams. Teams is great. I think Teams is much better than Skype ever was. So I think we could definitely just kind of cut Skype out of it, you know?
For sure.
I want to add, this is something that's kind of at my gripe a little bit. I love Teams. I use Teams all the time. I love it. It's great compared to Skype. It's way better. The one thing I didn't really like, MKBHD pointed this out in his video, but the one thing I don't really like is in the press conference, they had a huge push on Teams, a huge, like, use Teams for everything, call grandma using Teams. Teams, to me, sounds like a collaboration software that you would use at an enterprise company, not something you would call grandma and grandpa on the weekend using. It's a very, I think what they should have done was rebrand Skype and be like, this is the new Skype, and show what Teams is.
Well, so here's what I think. I think they really I like Teams, and I think what they really need to do is create two versions of Teams, like what they have. But I think the confusing part is that there's Teams and then there's Teams for Family or whatever. They need to come up with another name for the Teams with Family. So yeah, or like, I don't know, Teams for Family or something like that. Mm-hmm. But make them interchangeable though. So like, if you're, you know, for example, if you're a family user, you can still communicate with people who have enterprise accounts, you know, and use it for enterprise purposes, you know, and vice versa. So that way, you know, if you're doing like a job interview and it's over Skype, but I think what they had, or excuse me, over Teams, but I think what they had to do here is Zoom was it during the pandemic. Like, Zoom had a huge increase in accounts, and they're seeing a very decrease in accounts right now because of that. And Microsoft really wants a share of that. And, you know, Zoom was so good for the pandemic and during lockdown periods, it connected people together. And that's what they want to do with Teams. So being able to create two versions of Teams, but I think they need to call it something else, you know, rather than Teams, you know, I don't know. Teams, they need to come up with another. Teams sounds like a more enterprise name.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that, like, you could still have another name for it, you know, but
I think one of the problems is that like Windows isn't a phone, so it can't copy iMessage because you're not going to download some random Microsoft messaging app that nobody has on your phone to communicate with people. So you have to only use it on the PC, and Skype is too like bloated. So they're getting rid of that. And like you guys are saying, are you going to use something as impersonal as Teams to talk with your family? Will that be your first thought?
Not for me.
FaceTime.
Yeah.
Or FaceTime. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, FaceTime coming to Windows and Android. Like, I mean, that's a pretty big announcement and a pretty big news for that. Mm. And again, Apple is doing the same thing that Microsoft wants to do. They want to take a cut away from Zoom. You know, Google did the same thing with Google Meets. You know, Google Meets wasn't really out there for for personal accounts. And then it became there during the pandemic, you know? So, I think being able to, I mean, everybody just wants a piece of the pie and to cut down on Zoom, you know? And I think that's ultimately the goal.
Okay. So one other thing that they are doing is that they are disabling Internet Explorer and basically making Microsoft Edge the default internet application. So there's going to be an IE mode in Microsoft Edge, so that in some scenarios you might need to use some legacy version of Internet Explorer. But how do you guys feel about Internet Explorer stepping 1 foot out the door? It's almost completely gone.
It's about time. But they've already announced that Internet Explorer itself is going to go away in, I think, July of 2022. Again, they announced this before, and it's still here. Like, I think it was 2 years ago that IE was supposed to be deprecated or whatever, you know. It's still around, and it needs to die. There's some software that I still use with it. I have some older webcams, security cameras. And they use the interface. You have to go in through Internet Explorer to get into it. And it's like, it's horrible. Like, you know, it's a very painful experience. So I think overall they need to kill IE. I will be interesting to see if the Edge version is a true like Internet Explorer, or it's just another way to get into it, and if you'll really be able to use it for IE.
I think it's good that they're removing it for consumer. I think no one needs Internet Explorer on a consumer device, consumer license. But looking at it for me, from an IT perspective, I'm assuming you can still install it through server, like deploy it as a software, there's a lot of companies out there who use and depend on IE as for a lot of different services. I use it constantly all the time while Edge has added a lot of IE to it, so you can access a lot of legacy systems. It's not entirely perfect, but so I'm assuming you'll be able to add it on the back end.
It does say disabled, so there's a chance that you can re-enable it in some way in case it's like critical to certain systems that you or a company has or something.
But I think they said that it's not going to be supported after July of 2022. So you may be able to install it at the beginning, but I think Microsoft's plan is to finally get rid of it altogether. So you may only have the either unsupported version of it that you're using, or which is vulnerable to security attacks, which I think most companies would not want to use because it's not getting software updates or security updates anymore. And especially with ransomware out there right now, and being like ransomware is really big, you know, going on here in the US, you know, we've had a couple of ransomware attacks on some pretty big things. And so I think that using an unsupported browser that doesn't have security updates is going to be hard for companies. It'll be interesting to see if they follow through with that in July of 2022. But supposedly that's what they've said, is that they're no longer supporting it after July of 2022. So,
and I think that if companies push back on Microsoft, maybe they could extend that cancellation date. But Microsoft, just with Windows 11, is making a pretty big statement that it's going to operate on certain hardware in a certain way that we want. So they're taking way more control of the operating system with this iteration. So I think it makes sense if they say that it's going to be completely gone and inoperable, can't install it, they don't care about it anymore, no more support by July 2022, that they'll probably stick with that, because, I don't know, we'll be in a post Windows 11 world.
It's something else that needs to be thrown out the window completely.
And never brought back.
Force everybody to upgrade to Edge or whatever. Just get rid of Internet Explorer. It's time.
Yeah.
100%. It needs to go away. I even think that they need to get to the point where it's not even supported through a legacy mode, and they've just moved past Internet Explorer once and for all. I think by letting there be a legacy mode and not kind of forcing progress upon people, they're just coddling and letting people be set in their ways. Anybody who knows what they're talking about knows that Internet Explorer exists only to install Chrome.
True. So true.
I think we should shift points to the, unless anybody else has anything to say about Windows, I think we should shift to the Windows Store.
Yes, great. I mean, can you download Chrome on the Windows Store? What's going on with the Windows Store?
I think we should ask, can you download Internet Explorer?
Ooh, that would be from the Windows. Such a tease.
No, but
I'm excited about the Windows Store.
What are you excited about?
So I was asking you guys during the before the show if you access websites to download applications. I'm unfamiliar of how it works on the Mac. Based on how it works on iOS, I was envisioning you can only go to the Mac App Store because it's the safest, and why would you go anywhere else? And all developers that have salt in developing put stuff on the Mac App Store. That's not true. There's plenty of apps for like development and maybe content creation that you can get just only on a website, and they don't deploy to the Mac Store. But I'm super, super wondering if anybody uses the current Windows Store. Every time I have to interact with the Windows Store, it's frustrating and I hate it. I just assume that since nobody really complains about the Mac Store, or at least I don't hear it as frequently as complaints about the Windows Store or the complete ignorance of the Windows Store. So I'm excited that they're going to try and make it, I don't know, attractive to developers, and I want to know what a world is like in which people are buying things from the Windows App Store, because I can't envision it right now. I have no idea what its purpose is for.
A couple things on that. One of the things that I noticed during the keynote, I noticed on their website, I think too, I noticed. So the Windows Store is going to have a lot of apps. Spotify is going to be in there. Adobe's going to be in there. Teams is going to be in there. I don't know if Teams is in there now, but they made reference to that you can download Teams from there. Disney Plus is going to be in there. There's a lot of different features. But so I don't use a Windows Store. I don't even think it's available on my work computer. But I don't really use it for much. I like the interface for the Windows Store and the way they debuted it. I think that like you said on the Mac Store, do I download apps? Yes, I download apps. And I download a lot of apps from the App Store if it's available on there. If it's not, then I'll go to their website and I'll download it, because the Mac App Store is more secure than everything else. And it automatically updates apps automatically for me and keeps them updated in the background, so I don't have to go in there and update it myself. But there's some apps that are not available like that. Like Chrome isn't available. Chrome does have a backdoor though to do updates in the background, and then it just tells me I have to restart. So, so it's the same, pretty much the same on Windows. There's a couple other apps that I have. Notion isn't available in the App Store. Microsoft Edge isn't available in the App Store, but Microsoft Office and Excel and all that are available in the App Store. So if it's available there, I download it because it's more secure. And I think that having a more secure way of doing things is important. So the ability to download there, I think is helpful. And like one of the things that I noticed with the keynote too is looking for new apps and exciting apps, because you can go to the internet and search for, you know, Mac apps and stuff like that, or Windows apps, but like to be able to go in there and see what everybody else is downloading under trending, you know, what's new, what's, you know, what's out there. To have one source to go look for that, I think is helpful. Just from my point of view.
Content curation experience.
Content curation, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So, and then I hope that they'll continue to grow with that. I think that that's the ultimate plan. They did say though, like if you try to download apps, like I think if you download Spotify, it'll have a link to the App Store or the Windows Store, and that's where it'll take you to if you go to their website. So, I think I read that somewhere that's how, like, there'll be a new pop-up menu for the Windows Store, and that's where you would go download it. And then you get all your updates through the Windows Store as well.
Mm-hmm. And that does create, like, a localized and smooth experience rather than having to manage it in the application itself. It'll do everything in the background, and then everybody kind of knows that they can trust the Windows Store because, Microsoft is doubling down on security.
What? They are, but I don't think every app goes through security tests like it does on Apple. So everything that goes through Apple gets tested before it goes live in the App Store to make sure it meets security requirements and everything like that. So I don't know that that's going to happen with the App Store, but we'll see.
I think adoption rate on it is going to be super slow, though. Windows Store, you know, like you said, every experience you've had with the Windows Store has not been the most pleasant experience thus far. And not only that, but prior to Windows 8, there really wasn't a Windows Store. You downloaded or installed software traditionally from a CD or download from the website, installed from the install file. And since the inception of the Windows Store, it's been such a negative experience to begin with that I would not be surprised if Microsoft had to fight tooth and nail to get the Windows Store off the ground in Windows 11. And I bet that if it is successful, it's going to be a year, 2 years or more out from being successful. I just don't think there's not enough trust there with Microsoft as a foundation for a Windows Store to be successful to begin with. Microsoft has had it bad, has not trained their customers well to have the Windows Store have a high adoption rate, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think though, getting Adobe on board was a strong indication that you should publish to the Windows Store because Adobe is not in the Windows Store. I know that before. So to get them adapted and into the Windows Store, I think is huge. I think that bringing Android apps to the Windows Store also is going to be very helpful. I was really surprised that they're actually using the Amazon App Store rather than the Play Store, the Google Play Store.
What are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going through. They're putting the Amazon App Store. So that's where you're going to download your Amazon apps is through the Amazon App Store that's built into Windows. But so why not just go directly to the Play Store?
Because you have to have like Google Play services and all this other stuff that Google is probably going to like require you to give them access to or something. And
Google's so focused on putting Android apps on Chrome OS. I don't think
they're gonna want to do that. I was gonna say it's a direct competition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's interesting that you point that out though, because it does kind of add a little bit more friction. You don't get like the true native Google experience by having the Google Play Store. You have the Amazon App Store, which is another like mental conversion that people will have to do, where they're like Microsoft Store. Amazon is hosting the Google apps. Go to Amazon Store to get the Google apps. Okay. And then you won't have the full array of what's available on Android through the Amazon App Store because people have to submit stuff now there.
Zero chance of having previously purchased Android apps available to you.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you purchase an app on the Android store, you're not going to get it.
See, that's super interesting. Because so they have that avenue, and I'm unfortunately not very familiar with the Microsoft and Samsung partnership, but I know that they've been working together to smooth out how Samsung Android phones talk to and interact with Windows. I know they have some kind of partnership. So maybe in some kind of roundabout way, they're going to get an Apple-like experience, sampling some from Amazon, sampling some from Google, and getting that phone interoperability with Windows, Windows 11, and future versions of Android. And on top of that, like, I didn't say anything, Google, get out of here. And to top off with that, Roy, you were saying Microsoft is going to fight tooth and nail to get that adoption. Like, they're adding Android apps. They're changing the fees on the Microsoft Store to entice developers.
If they can get enough developers, my speculation on fighting tooth and nail is just on the current public perception of the Windows Store, the state of the Windows Store. Obviously, you know, depending on how well this Android app integration goes, I think that them using Amazon versus Google Play is going to be a big hit. Not big hit as in like yay, but a big hit to their. But a big hit to their credibility, not credibility, to how well it's going to blow over with people. I think it's going to be more detrimental, the fact that they're using Amazon. But if they can get enough developers, like Matt was saying, if you go to Spotify's website, it'll direct you to the Windows Store. If they can get enough developers on board with that, then you'll get more people used to using the Windows Store, and that's what it's going to take. They're basically going to have to force the customer to get themselves into the Windows Store ecosystem, so to speak, into the interface and used to using it in order to get that adoption rate up. So if they get enough developers on board, then the adoption rate will go a lot quicker. I don't know how long the Mac Store has been available on Mac OS. But I feel that probably it came after the iOS App Store. And, you know, I feel that was a way that they trained their customer to go to the Mac Store. Like when I got my Mac for the first time and I booted up, I'm like, oh, look, the App Store, I know how to use this. I use this on my phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already trained Microsoft has not had a way to train them.
The App Store for the Mac was released in 2011. And it, like, I'll say it doesn't have the quite a big adoption rate that some like Windows Store does. I think that Roy's right. The Windows Store will have some traction to make up there. I don't even think Adobe is in the Mac Store.
That's hard to believe.
I don't know. I'll check. But there's some apps that, like, you know, Microsoft is now in there, but Microsoft wasn't in there for a long time. You know, so I think it's just over time you have to, I mean, like Roy says, you have to fight for it. Lightroom is available in there, but the Creative Suite isn't in there. So all you can pretty much download is Lightroom.
That's very interesting. So the fact that Adobe is going to be in the new Windows Store, and the fact that Microsoft is saying that all application developers can use in-app payments and not have to give Microsoft any cut of the, because you don't have to use Microsoft's in-app payment scheme. And the fact that Microsoft is constraining Windows 11 to work in a certain way with certain hardware on certain screen sizes, you're going to have a tablet Windows 11 experience and a desktop Windows 11 experience and a laptop that's essentially going to use the same app store, and you'll have all the same apps across all of them. So I think the App Store model makes a lot of sense if you're like on a tablet or something, since, I mean, Apple pioneered that, and that's what everybody is using on mobile, is an App Store that works and makes sense that you can go to get whatever applications you want. It might never take off on desktop, but I think it's a really strong thing for mobile. I don't know, that's how I see it.
And I have just one thing to say, I guess, about how I feel about the Microsoft Store. And that is the fact that they are charging $14.99 for a DVD player that does not, and I repeat, does not play Blu-ray discs. And you get a free trial of.
I missed this. What is this?
This is a DVD player, Microsoft officially published.
Like it's, a DVD player app?
It's a DVD player app on your Windows computer.
What the heck?
And you can watch DVDs.
Could you not do that in whatever program they have right now to watch videos?
You need a third party. I think you need. I wonder if Media Center works. I always use VCL because it's free and it works the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
So see,
this is why I hate the Windows App Store as it is. It's super shiesty. This is a scam. Microsoft has a scam on their App Store right now that they're promoting.
I wonder if anyone actually pays this. Too bad there's no rating system for this page. I would love to see system requirements. Yeah, that's...
Hopefully, and there's just so much jank like that on the Windows App Store. I hope they somehow find a way to curtail that and give us better curation.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm trying to think if there was any other like cool features. Oh, there's going to be widgets now, right? You won't be too far away from iPhone and Android. You'll get widgets back on the desktop now. And they're taking away live tiles, essentially replacing those with widgets. Are you guys familiar with live tiles on?
I like live tiles mainly because I love, that's what I loved about, you know, Windows Mobile.
Mm-hmm. Well, live tiles are cool. They give you like immediate access to like little glances of information.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It gives you the most pertinent information up front. I mean, I haven't always enjoyed their integration with Windows. I think that the way that you could have done it with Windows 10 wasn't that bad. Definitely better than it was in Windows 8. I still think that you could do stuff. If you could pin the live tiles to your desktop, your physical desktop background, so it's always there versus how you had to bring up the start menu, that would be the way to implement live tiles.
Mm.
But don't listen to me, Microsoft. I'm just, you know, a consumer that loves live tiles.
I think for you, you're a little bit too close to Apple for them to really consider. They have to take stuff from Apple behind like cloak and dagger or something. They can't.
Well, Tim can go talk to his buddy Bill.
Don't stop charging anymore.
You don't think he doesn't still have influence there?
He's definitely on some board.
No, he's off the board now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he had an affair with the one, and he resigned, saying that he wanted to spend more time with the Gates Foundation, I think, and stuff like that, and other projects. But yeah, he's off the board. So,
so what you're saying is the wallet has been removed.
I guess.
I say that because Microsoft Wallet is removed from Windows 11.
But it, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Just wanted to throw that in there. Sorry, Matt. It sounded like you were going to say something actual instead of meme-y.
No, that was it.
So have you guys heard of Microsoft Wallet or what that could even be? Because I see it here in the list of things that's going to be removed, but I'm
almost positive that it was on my Windows phone. Like I definitely can like picture what the tile looked like in my mind. And I remember seeing it in Windows Mobile, but I could not explain it to you.
Fair enough.
I'm looking it up.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that it was just like a currency for the Windows store that you could load money into.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It looks like a competitor to Apple Pay and Android Pay.
Hmm. Maybe that was really... If that was on the Surface or something and was popular there for like mobile, or maybe they also wanted it for the Pro Duo, the failed Pro Duo that they launched. I don't know. I'd never heard about it before.
Oh, so. I found an article. The Microsoft Wallet app for Windows phones will stop working on February 28, and this was written in 2019.
Huh.
So it was a, you can pay, it was a mobile payment app, pretty much.
That's so sad. We're losing another mobile payment thing.
That you never used. So
that I never used.
You never really missed it then.
Didn't know it existed at all. I really don't feel like I'm missing anything. But you know what I am missing? The fact that Cortana will no longer be included in the first boot experience or pinned to the taskbar of Windows 11.
I'm kind of sad because I really did like Cortana, even though I never used Cortana. But like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they shouldn't really give up on Cortana. But
anybody think it's ironic that they killed they're killing off Cortana, both in game and out of game?
Spoilers.
It's literally in the Halo Infinite trailer. So if you've watched the Halo Infinite trailer, you know this.
Yep.
So I also have to mention too, it came out in Windows Insider, but cloud gaming is now available for iOS via the web browser. So with Game Pass. So I think after, so I'm finishing up my boot camp and I have a week off. I think I'm going to try it next week. And I'm going to give it a try and I'm going to try playing Halo.
Are we going to play some Halo together?
Yeah, maybe Wolfenstein and some other things. So there's a, I think I can get 3 months of Game Pass for like 99 cents or something like that.
Yeah, there's a promotion going on.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to try it, and I think I'm going to do it.
That's exciting.
Playing Halo on my iPad.
Streaming it, right? I would love to watch you play Halo. That would be amazing. Especially if you both do like co-op or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. any last final thoughts? Windows App Store or Windows 11?
My overall overview of how Windows looks or Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer, yes. Rest in peace. Hey, hold on. Let's take a moment of silence. Okay, that's good.
More than long enough.
Time to move on.
I mean, like my overview of how Windows 11 like looks to me, I like the consolidation. I like the focus on expanding Windows' view or perspective or appeal as the platform you can do anything that you want on, the platform that is for any kind of experimentation or innovation with maybe not ironclad restrictions, but they have a dedicated experience with the Microsoft Store, and then it's still the platform where you can download all these unique apps, like ones that track your cooling in your PC, ones that modify like lighting in your RGB system, just all of the awesome things that have happened on PC happened because of Windows and then Linux. But I think that Microsoft embracing both their business side with the store and the creative culture of just Windows in general, that is what I'm looking forward to.
So I just have one thing to say, and I mentioned this in the Discord chat, but the guy who talked about Windows 11, oh my God, he was so much drama about that. Like, come on. Like,
you thought he was dramatic?
Oh, yeah.
He was about to cry the entire time.
He literally
was comparing Windows, an operating system, to a family member. And I grew up using Windows. It was like a family member to me.
He should literally become an actor.
My grandma once used Windows. It was her favorite. I'd like to show you guys Windows 11. I was like,
This is the house I grew up in. It's a lot like Windows. It's a lot like Windows because it's got Windows.
Because it's got Windows.
It's so personal.
In fact, it's got 11 Windows.
I would have preferred a PowerPoint presentation than him talking about it.
It was kind of odd, right? Where he was like, yeah, this is really personal and really dedicated to like you, but also we're trying to sell you something really, really hard.
He was bringing off Xbox One vibes, like Xbox One announcement vibes of it's between you and your TV. It's between you're going to have a relationship between you and your Xbox. Like,
how can you not get it? It's like Windows. A member of the family. Bring it home.
Windows 11. It's like your child.
Like, dude, it's an operating system. Go for it.
Anyways,
Windows.
Anyways, like I was almost ready to turn it off because I missed the replay because I had a meeting at the same time. Because they did it so damn early in the morning, so I couldn't get out of a meeting. So I ended up watching it later that night. Literally, I got so tired of listening to this guy for 10 minutes talk about Windows and not even Windows 11, just about his experience with Windows and how personal it is. And yeah, no,
the team, like, and how much love and passion. Oh,
yeah, probably, oh my god,
they were probably like, listen, Windows isn't ready yet. We need you to stall for 30, maybe 5 more minutes. Just
well, stall. We know it was pre-recorded. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But how many takes do you think he went through before he got it right?
How many times do you think they had to stop filming because he was just crying too much?
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, it's Windows 11.
Oh, sorry. Man.
Sorry. Anyways. All right. I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
I agree. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of the Gooply Cast. We want to give a big thank you to you watching, and if you're listening to us as a podcast. Look for replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with this show and you can join in. And also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joe, thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Gooply Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Gooply Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the Gooply Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.